But this morning we want to start as an introduction on the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, Paul mentioned those. And over in Galatians chapter 5, we see where Paul is encouraging the brethren to stand fast in the liberty wherewith he said Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. That is, by going back to the old law, there were Judaizing teachers who were teaching that they needed to include circumcision in the gospel in order to be saved, which was untrue. So Paul wrote, and he said in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, and he's telling them, you know, what will be the result if you walk in the Spirit. He said in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he lists 18 things, and such like, he says, of the lust of the flesh, that they'll see if they don't walk in the Spirit. If they walk in the Spirit, they'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. But he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, he said. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So when we talk about terms, I always like to look at a few different versions. So looking at the New King James, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, or kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law. Then as we think about the American Standard Version, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against us there is no law. We see in these various versions similarities. And when we are studying terms, it's good to look at the number of versions you can see and understand the meaning of the words better that way. But Paul and Barnabas, they had visited Galatia about 45 to 48 AD and established four churches. And Paul needed to write this epistle because there were Judaizing teachers who, after Paul had established these churches, were going about and spreading rumors about Paul and lies about him and turning people from the truth, saying they need to add circumcision. Perverting the gospel, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, he said, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, not the same that I preached unto you. So there are those who were teaching error. There are those who were saying that Paul was a liar, that he wasn't to be trusted, and there are all sorts of rumors being spread about Paul and false teaching going on, and Paul preached the gospel to them, the pure and simple gospel he preached to them, and encouraged them to stick with what he preached. Don't go to something else, because if you walk in the Spirit, you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's true with us today, isn't it? That's true with us today. So when we think about these definitions, you know, fruit of the Spirit, Strong defines it as fruit as plucked, literally or figuratively fruit. Then Vine has a lengthy definition. It's metaphorically the works or deeds or the fruit being the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly, the character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. Matthew 7:16. So in Matthew 7:16, we see where Jesus, when he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about men who were false teachers. He said, you shall know them by their fruits, what they produce. So we can be known by the fruit that we produce. Notice he used fruits, not fruit. He used fruits when he was talking about false teaching. But as a visible expression of hidden lust are the works of the flesh, so the invisible power of the Holy Spirit of those who are brought into living union with Christ produces the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The singular form suggesting the unity of the character of the Lord as produced in them, namely love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all in contrast with confused and often mutually antagonistic works of the flesh. Notice it said fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. Fruit singular. The works of the flesh that he had enumerated there. There's 18 works of the flesh as opposed to 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll look at all those. As we think about these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, now it's a package deal is what it is. Let me describe it and kind of illustrate it this way. Now if you're going to pick out a watermelon, you're picking out one watermelon, you're going to be looking for certain characteristics in order to select the best watermelon. So the recommendation is to look for a field spot. You know, the yellow, red, deep yellow place on the melon where it's set on the ground in the field. Avoid shiny watermelons. You want a dull or a matte appearance watermelon that shows that the melon is juicy. You need to look for small scratches. I call these like sugar scratches. He says never pick a watermelon with large scratches or cuts in the skin. Small scratches in the skin are a good sign that the watermelon is sweet, ripe, and ready to eat. You want to find an oval melon. You know, the perfect watermelon should have an oval or a regular oval shape. And tap the watermelon. You want to tap it, and it should sound hollow. It's a thud. In the case it's not a good watermelon. So these 6 characteristics would indicate a ripe watermelon. Just like these characteristics, 9 of them are the fruit of the Spirit. That's what should be seen. Now the context of Galatians 5 is that contrast Paul is making with the law of Moses and the gospel of Christ. And specifically, he warns them not to turn from the truth, to stand fast in the liberty that Christ provides, liberty from sin. Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage, he says. We're to walk in the Spirit. He says if you stand fast in that liberty, you'll be producing that fruit. But in contrast between the yoke of bondage, the old law, which many are going back to, they're trying to add things of the Mosaical requirements of the old law, circumcision to be exact, and that was untrue. Remember, they had a meeting over in Acts 15 about that. They had a big debate about it. Circumcision. Now, some demanded to practice part of the law, circumcision, verse 2 through 12. You see where Paul said, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if he be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did one will. Who did hinder you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not of him that calleth you." Didn't come from Christ's teaching. Didn't come from Paul's teaching. What they were believing was from the false teacher. He said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little bit of poison can wipe out the whole good water that you're thinking looks good and clean. He said, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none other minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever that is or whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?" Why is he being persecuted by those who preach persecution or circumcision if he preached it? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. So Paul here warns them, don't practice what they're promoting. Don't go back to the law. Don't add something to the gospel, because if you do, you pervert it. you're a debtor to do the whole law. You fall from grace, he told them. So they have been called to freedom. They are called to freedom. It's not a license for the flesh. It's not a license to practice. And notice verse 13 through 15. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. They're liberated from the bondage of the old law. They're liberated from sin by obedience unto Christ, by faith. It is only as not you or not use liberty for the occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all that is the law, for all the law fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You'll just destroy the church if you continue the route you're going, he's saying. You'll destroy yourself. You'll destroy your own souls. See, the gospel system revealed by the Holy Spirit, the man's crucifying the flesh and bearing fruit of the Spirit. In verses 16 through 26, we see that. I don't take the time to read that, but in Romans chapter 8, Paul emphasized that if we follow the Spirit, there's no condemnation in doing that. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he warns and encourages brethren to abide in the Spirit. There's no condemnation in the Spirit, as well as there's no condemnation. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. See, being led by the Spirit they were to be, and not under the law. Notice verse 18 again. He said in verse 18, he says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. In Romans chapter 8, as we have already made reference to, Paul talked about being led by the Spirit. He said there's no condemnation of those who walk in the Spirit. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death, referring to the old law. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're to walk according to the Spirit's teaching, is what he said. And he provided them the gospel, which was Spirit revealed. They're to walk in that. They're to abide in that. They're to live by that. And so when we obey the gospel, now our hearts are circumcised through baptism. So the baptism of circumcision, the baptism without hands, is a baptism or a cutting away of the sinfulness of the heart. Whereas circumcision was an outward indication. Whereas the circumcision made without hands is an inward circumcision of the heart. It's reflected by the work that we do, by the attitude that we have, by the fruit we bear. See, there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit, he said in verse 23. There's no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit, but there is to those who walk in the flesh. So which way are we going to walk? According to the Spirit, according to the flesh? Which way were the Galatians going? They were going according to the flesh, weren't they? He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you should not obey the truth? Who is this that turn or cause you to fall from grace? Can't fall from somewhere you've never been. See, they were once in the grace of God when they obeyed the gospel. He said, now Christ has become of no effect in you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Can't fall out of a tree unless you get in it, right, Pat? I like to pick on Pat. But I've fallen out of a tree. I've fallen off the roof. I've fallen out of a boat. But I had to be in the boat, on the roof, or in the tree to fall out of it. This just makes common sense, doesn't it? See how simple that is? You can't fall from grace without being in the grace of God. And Paul says they have fallen from grace. But he said there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the character that's always been desired. That what God desires to see in us, love, joy, peace, all those nine qualities of that fruit. That's what he wants to see. That's what we'll be seeing if we walk in the Spirit. So if you think about this, it prevents a negative religion. You know, bearing fruit of the Spirit keeps us from a negative religion. You know, doing bad things makes for purity. Or not doing bad things makes for purity. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, Paul talked about, he warned the Corinthians they couldn't go back to what they were once involved in. He said, you know that, or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he goes on to describe what's unrighteous. He said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And notice verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. You used to be these things. He said, but now, he said, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They obey what the Spirit revealed, the gospel. They are walking in the Spirit. Paul said you can't go back to those things you once were involved in. Because if you do, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteous came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If he promoted circumcision, he'd be frustrating God's grace. You know, we frustrate God's grace when we sin and are involved in sin. We're to come out of sin. We're to be raised to walk in newness of life, Paul said to the Romans as we studied in our class this morning. Then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21, he says, thus I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. And so that you cannot do the things that you would. So our bodies tend to want to be involved in these lusts. Can't do that. It's a war of the mind. And we're at war. We're in a war right now. In our own minds, in a lot of cases. So we list all those 18 things that he calls a work of the flesh. And he says, and such like. Anything in the same category. He said, which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do the sins shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, to maintain purity, you can't be involved in any of them. Then Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lust. He said, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he said, follow righteousness, faith, love or charity, peace, within the call and the amount of pure are some of the same things you see enumerated as characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul told Timothy. Then James said in James chapter 1, verse 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion, you know, that means pious service towards God, based on truth. To keep oneself unspotted, unspotted means to be, or spotless means to be unblemished, pure. And Peter used the same Greek word over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, when he wrote about the precious, unspotted character of Jesus and his blood. So the world that we live in is overflowed with wickedness, isn't it? We talked about that. And Christ shines as unspotted and clean without sin. He shines forth. We as Christians, we're to let our light shine as well, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. by being what? Unspotless. Or unspotted, but to be spotless, to be unblameable in His sight. We do that by being obedient to the gospel, by walking in the Spirit, living according to the Spirit. See, bearing the fruit of the Spirit keeps us from that negative religion we've been talking about. So we must do. What must we do to manifest that fruit? What do we have to do? You ever thought about this? Let's look at it. By all means, not a conclusive list, but some things that will keep us busy. We need to walk in the Spirit, don't we? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, Romans 8, verses 1 through 17, that there's no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit. Those are ones who submit humbly to God's Word, what the Spirit has revealed, what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God has been revealed by the Spirit. Jesus told His disciples in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy Word is truth. So we're sanctified, we're made clean and right by obedience to the Word. Jesus told His disciples, you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. You're clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. They had to follow it though, didn't they? We need to grow spiritually. Peter said in 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he said, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that he may grow thereby. You know, for a baby to grow, they had to want the milk. You know, if a baby wouldn't eat, the mom would be worried about that child. She would take that child to the doctor and find out why this kid's not eating. What does that say about the ones who don't read and study God's Word, those who don't attend, and those who don't seek to learn more about His Word? So we're to have the desire, the hunger for God's Word as a baby has for that milk bone. Do we have that hunger? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We glorify God when we desire to know more about Him so that we can be obedient to His Word. Paul talked about growth in Ephesians, in the Ephesian letter, in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. He said, we henceforth, that would be no more children, tossed to and fro. Children in understanding, that is, and in knowledge, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, or by the lying wake to deceive. He said, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things. It's a process. It's a process of growth. Are we ever too old to learn, Bob? I'm not picking on your age. No, we have to remember what we forgot. No, Bob, we have to do that. I have to do that. I knew that already. You know, here left off, forgot about that, but now I remember. You know, so we preach different lessons to bring things to our remembrance. We need to remember stuff because we forget. We're forgetful beings. All right, and then, you know, the Hebrew writer, he recommended those who had time to be teachers. He said, for one of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to one teach you again, which should be the first principle of the oracle of God, and become such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. So milk is given to babies. Strong meat, you know, a small baby, their stomachs can't handle. A Big Mac couldn't handle it. Couldn't chew it. You know, if they could chew it, they probably couldn't handle it. He said, for everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the work of righteousness. He is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them that are a full age, that is, spiritually speaking. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have to study God's Word so we'll be able to recognize good and evil. Many churches are overthrown because just like what happened here in Galatia. People came in and spread false doctrine. Some believed it. Paul opposed it. Paul told the Corinthians that He was a child. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away child things. He's not talking about his toys. He's talking about his spiritual maturity. In chapter 14, verse 20, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding, but in malice be ye children. But in understanding be men, or to be mature in our understanding, or to be meek as children, but mature in our understanding. He were to add the graces Paul commanded in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. This is another passage to you. Can't just add one at a time. You're to have all those things. You're to be growing all those things. You sit on the side, just give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you and abound. And may be that you be bearing or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten his first from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See what we have to look forward to if we add to our faith these virtues? We have an abundant entrance into the kingdom, he said. Then we're to be faithful. He said we're to be fruitful, that is. We're to be fruitful in God's work. We're to maintain. Paul said that we ought to teach people to maintain good works from necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We're to do what God commands us to do. We're to treat our brethren the way God expects us and teaches us to treat our brethren. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 6, that they're to bring forth fruit unto holiness. But being made free from sin and become servants of righteousness, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. The result will be everlasting life if our fruit is holy fruit. If it's rotten by disobedience and believing false teaching, then we won't have that hope. Romans chapter 7, Paul said in verse 4, he said, wherefore, brethren, beloved, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to one another. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions or the sinful passions, he's talking about, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So fruit unto death or fruit unto righteousness, that's the choice that we have. Or be fruitful in God's word. We do that by doing all the same. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, whatever we say or the actions that we take part in, do all by the authority of Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. We're to abound in the labor towards God. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, after he has dealt with the problem of some believing that there was no resurrection, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, labor, work. Some people don't like that term. It's work to stay faithful, isn't it? It's work to serve God. It's something that we should look forward to doing. So, it's not enough to be pure. We must manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So, we need to bear that fruit. All aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are to be seen in our lives. Notice works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. A singular term. A package deal like the watermelon. Now, all nine characteristics are to be manifested. Just like in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the virtues that were to add to our faith, all those virtues, that's a package deal. We want the body of Christ to bear this fruit. In John chapter 15, Jesus talked about the vine and the branches. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or purges it, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken of you. Abide in me. What if they don't abide in him? They'll become unclean. They're severing what makes them clean. They're severing the source of what purifies them if they turn away from God. He said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and shall be given or done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you shall be my disciples. So bearing fruit means you have to abide in Christ. And to continue in his word. John said in 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. So as you think about the choice we have, we must choose to be led by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit, when people say that they have the Spirit, it's not like somebody put a noose around your neck and dragged you along and that way. No, you choose to be follow the Spirit's lead. Those in Romans 8 chose to walk in the Spirit. They humbled themselves to the Spirit. Just like Paul urges the Galatians to do so. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, as if I say then walk in the Spirit, he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in verse 25, he said that we are to walk in the Spirit. And so it's our choice. Which way are we going to go? It's our choice. He said in Galatians 5, let me get back to it. He said that we're to walk in that Spirit, aren't we? We're to walk in the Spirit. And in verse 25, he said, wherefore put away lying. Well, that's the wrong verse. We're to put on the new man, and we're to be led by the Spirit. You know, we're not to be led by false teachers. We're to be led by the Spirit that has followed God's Word. Willingly we're to do that. See, the Spirit is controlling our lives through the Word. It's not some bitter felt and told. Something we can't explain. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, that they were to be led by the Spirit. He said, and be not drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spirituals, on singing, making known your heart to the Lord. And so we're led by the Spirit. We choose to be directed by the Spirit. And again, Colossians 3, verse 16. Paul said, we're to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, he said, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. So we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. That's the question he asked them in that day. And so we see where Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we're led by the Spirit, we're just following what the Spirit reveals in the Word, and we choose to do that. We choose it to govern our lives. It's a willing choice. And those who don't, they choose to disobey. It's their choice. The Lord didn't make you do it. Somebody used to be a teacher that went around and said, the devil made you do this. The devil didn't make you do any such thing. You know, the devil didn't make Eve partake of the fruit. He just presented to her glorious like he does to us. He knew what her weaknesses were. He went after those. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, we see where Paul said the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, beginning through 23, says, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. And through the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So God's Word is how we're led by the Spirit. That's how the Spirit dwells in us when we live, breathe, and teach and practice God's Word in our lives. So love, joy, peace. These are all commands we must obey. For example, in love, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, John said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he says that we're to rejoice. Paul said, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord, the writer of the same things to me. Indeed, it's not grief, but for you it's safe. And then in Philippians 4, verse 4, he said, rejoice the Lord, again I say, again rejoice. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, rejoice evermore. Joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says that we're to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's therefore being justified by faith. Faith comes how? By hearing the Word of God. It's not some better felt than told feeling. It didn't come on you and you just can't explain how it happened. It's not some funny feeling you got. It's the choice you made. It's the choice you made. You believe God's Word. The Hebrew, I said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which man shall not see the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said in verse 13, talking about the elders, he said, unto them you're to esteem, those who watch for your souls is the one he's talking about. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Love, joy, peace. Long suffering, these are all commands we must obey. These will be the commands and things that we do when we walk in the Spirit, when we follow the Spirit, when we're led by the Spirit. See why? Here's why. Because all these are Spirit revealed. Paul told the Corinthians that what they had written was by the Spirit. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, he says to the apostles. For the Spirit searcheth all things, save the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are given, freely given to us of God. So how can God expect you to walk in a certain way if you didn't? He never told you what way to walk in.
Rowena sends me to the store. She's got to write it down, reveal to me what she wants. And she just sent me to the store and says, go get those things I told you to get. What are they? You know, I need to know. I need you to reveal them to me. She might have to write them down. She may tell me and fall out and forget, but write them down. Write the things down. Therefore, reveal what she wants me to get. That's what the apostles did when they wrote by the Spirit. When we read and follow what is written, then we are being led by the Spirit. When we do that, we'll bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, see? So in conclusion, Christians are called by the gospel to walk in the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and verse 25. We won't read those again. But we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. And then take a willing following. We're to live in the Spirit. We're to let the Spirit abide in us, be governed, let our lives be governed by the Spirit. Then when we do that, we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness. That which there is no law against. See, to live in the Spirit is to walk after the instructions of the Spirit. And the Galatians were living in a deluded state. They thought that as long as their faith in Jesus remained and they maintained their fellowship with God regardless of how they had been affected by the false teachers, Paul points to them and said, you are fallen from grace. He told them. You think they wanted to hear that? You are fallen from grace. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So we see where Paul pointedly told them that they had fallen from grace. And he reminded them, it's not enough just to simply say that one believes. It's not enough just to say you're a Christian. We have to prove that. We have to prove our faith. By doing what? By walking in the Spirit. By the Spirit's instructions. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. So this is not a mystical, magical, miraculous control of one's life by the Holy Spirit. It results from the deliberate choice to live under the control of the Spirit of God or to live by faith. In conclusion, you know, the fruit is singular, is collective, with each part of the fruit bearing distinct attributes of God. Each part of this fruit must be carefully understood to develop properly. The fruit of the Spirit does not grow accidentally. It is present in your life. Where is it present in your life? This fruit will only grow and ripen in us with regular watering, nurturing, pruning, and shaping of our lives by the Spirit-given Word. Remember Paul said, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians chapter 3, we're to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. The fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about each one of these attributes. The fruit of the Spirit in later lessons, and we'll talk about the works of the flesh. See the package deal, the fruit of the Spirit, 9 principles there, 9 attributes. You have to have all those. There's 18 works of the flesh. Just one work of, you know, committing one work of the flesh or such like will do you in. Let us not be those who are swayed from walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Let's always do God's will as revealed in His Word. Bless the church if you're in any way subject to the invitation or that you think on the things we talked about this morning, the fruit of the Spirit, an introduction basically. And so as we
close this morning, remember that alien sinners must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of their sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized in water to wash away their sins. And as erring children of God, when we sin, we need to repent and pray and ask for forgiveness. And strive to live and endure the trials set before us and be faithful unto death, so that we'll receive the crown of life that's awaiting for us. Blessings are yours. In the way, said the Lord's invitation urges you to come, and together we stand and sing.